Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
A world-renowned artist held at gunpoint, a scary clown with an out-of-control tongue, AITAs, and FMK. This week's episode is our Patreon extravaganza.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, well, hello everyone.
If we're, or it's blah, 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 because we're down with the aliens and we're broadcasting live from their studio under the Atlantic Ocean.
If only this, we were coming to you live from beneath the waves. That would be the one better thing than to be able to come to you from the past, but you're hearing this in the future. As you hear this on this lovely Wednesday, we're actually in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, sailing on Crime Wave at Sea with Henry and Ed and all the other fun folks that are out there and all of our fun listeners that came to join us. But we wanted to bring you something in our absence.
Yeah, we are hopefully having the time of our lives.
It's easy to say that on Thursday before you leave, but...
Oh, man, I hope this ages well. Not going to...
Yeah, right, and we're not on another Netflix like cruise. My mother-in-law will be like, oh, hello, do you need some advice?
I'm well, like, now, yes. And what a thing to bond over to say exactly. That you both experienced it.
What are the statistics?
Oh, man, no. We are having the time of our lives. I know that we are. Yes. And you can also have the time of your life because from now through November 30th, we have got a deal for you. You can get 20% off all new annual memberships with the code November.
Yeah, this is a journey through our land, magical land of Patreon and all the fun stuff we do over there. So we're going to, instead, you know, a lot of times with our best ofs, we set you up at the beginning. But this one, we were going to walk with you through all the things we did and why and what the fuck is going on. Some context if you're never over there. So you get it. You
absolutely
see what's going on.
And so, the holidays are upon us.
Yeah.
We're all trying to save money. If you're looking for a great gift for someone, now is the time to get it. This is probably the cheapest it's ever been because with an annual membership, you already get a month free.
Yeah.
And you're getting 20% off of that on top of it. You can also do it for yourself, stack it with a free trial. And really, I like to stack coupons. I'm the type that goes into Bed Bath & Beyond with like 30 of those things. And I'm like, and I will be paying for nothing today.
Thank you very much.
So you can stack them all up.
Absolutely. So yeah, use code November and you get all, there's all different tiers. So the one tier we have is called the So Sinister tier. And a part of that you get is weekly audio bonus content. And that's what this first bit is. It's from a relationship advice bonus content we recorded. And I go and find these on the internet. You can send them in to us if you find something on Reddit, or if you have a relationship advice issue you want us to opine on, you go to our contact page on our website and click submit a Patreon segment. So I believe I found this one on Reddit, and it is, you're married, or if you're have any person in your life that has embarrassed you in front of people.
Tommy does a lot of the dropping off with our kids, and I've yet to hear of this happening for many other moms, and I hope that I don't, because what a betrayal, you know?
Yeah, you're about
I'd
to hear,
so
and luckily
pissed off.
I would be so
for
mad.
For so many reasons.
Well, we've got this one for you. And then this one also had a little update at the end. So so check it out.
We love an update.
Well, this last one has got two separate updates. So I say we move to it as we...
okay.
But that mother-in-law audacity, I just had to connect with anybody else who's ever had that. Well, this final one. I'm just going to read you the situation.
Okay.
I, 39-year-old female, am looking for some outside perspective on a situation that's been bothering me. My husband, 31-year-old male, is a stay-at-home dad and handles all the school drop-offs and pickups for our son. Recently, I mentioned that one of the moms at the school texted me to grab coffee sometime. A few days later, my husband admitted, almost reluctantly, that he had brought her chocolates and cookies.
The woman?
Yes, that asked for coffee. Oh. He had driven about 30 minutes to a specialty store, and that's where he'd gotten them. He was buying stuff. He was buying other stuff for himself there as well. Oh, and also, I've never met her. He said he was afraid she might mention it to me at coffee, so he confessed, but only after I brought her name up. He apologized, but when I tried to have a deeper conversation about it, he got really angry and told me just to drop it. That reaction honestly made things feel worse. Later, I casually spoke to another parent at the school, and she mentioned, without me asking much, that my husband comes across as a very flirty guy.
Oh.
I had no idea people viewed him this way. I'm feeling a mix of confusion, disappointment, and insecurity. He put effort into buying and delivering sweets to another woman who, by the way, is married with several kids. I don't want to overreact, but I also don't want to ignore that something feels off. Any thoughts or advice would be appreciated.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Dude.
One, how dare you?
Sir, to say I tried to have a conversation, he got angry and told me to just drop it. The way the rest of my life, I'd be like, I don't know, why don't you ask Claire what she thinks? Like, I would bring that person's name, and it's not even her fault. I would just use that. We should just drop it. Whoa, should we?
Should we? Because why did you do that? Unprompted, he bought this woman chocolates and flowers?
It feels like he just said, like, listen, I bought her some chocolates and some cookies. It was chocolates and cookies. I bought her treats from a faraway specialty store.
Yeah, a 30-minute drive. So an hour round trip to get somebody that isn't your wife.
No.
Cookies and chocolates?
I would lose my mind. Dude, also, he'd
be my ex after that.
For real, buying other stuff for himself there as well. My fucking ass you were. There's no, all of a sudden you pick something up for yourself while you're already out there to get this imaginary woman who I've given the name Claire to get Claire an eclair while you're out there. Don't know. Hell no.
And then Claire text OP after receiving
treats,
yummies, and says, hey, let's grab coffee sometime.
I wonder if the recipient is like, I didn't want these cookies, and this weird man has brought me cookies, so I'm going to just have coffee with his wife and be like, so how's it going? This weird thing happened.
That's what we're hoping for. Could also be worst case scenario, they're having an affair and she's trying to make it look less weird by like now getting to know you. Also, what if Claire's like a stalker and she's like, I want to know who your wife is. Now, this is all speculation and Claire might be lovely. The husband is the problem here.
100%.
He brought all of this into your life without Claire having done anything.
True. And I'm like, also, you're the one that brought this into our family and you're responsible now for any of the consequences that are going to result. So first update, and then we can discuss. It says, update. I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who commented and shared their thoughts. I truly didn't expect this post to get so much attention, and I'm really grateful for the insight, validation, and different perspectives. It helped more than I can say. This update is a bit uneventful now. My husband has shut down any further conversation. He feels that his apology, quote, I'm sorry if that hurt you.
Oh, sir.
He feels that was sufficient, and he's unwilling to engage beyond that at the moment. I did find out something else yesterday that was honestly just disappointing. Apparently, at the beginning of the school year, the teacher told my husband she liked his cologne. And he brought it to school and rubbed it on her wrist one day.
Oh,
yikes.
Did he now?
Yikes, right? As for the mom who received the sweets, she can't meet until Thursday. So hopefully I'll have more to share after that. Thanks again for the time to weigh in. It really means a lot. You did what?
Girl, I hope the next post says my now ex-husband, because this man is crossing so many boundaries. Unless she's like, and I love it. I love that he's flirty. You don't do that when you're married. Also, for the recipient too, like the teacher might not want cologne rubbed on her. This lady might not have asked for any chocolates or flowers if he's known as being flirty.
Mm-mm.
So three different people now, three different women at the school, one of them a teacher, has commented on how your husband has done something that I would reserve for someone I was interested in.
Yes. If somebody rubbed their cologne on me, I would take it as a come on. Like, that's sexual to me. I'm always like, would I do that with any of my male friends? And if any of my, if Ian, my buddy from law school, was like, hey, I'm going to rub this cologne on you, I'd be like, the fuck are you doing, bro? And we're like best friends. Like, that man was at my dad's funeral. Like, we are so close. And like, that is so beyond like normal boundaries that you have with the guy. Like Raymond, our mutual friend, he would never be like, let me rub my cologne on you. We would laugh in his face.
Rub it on us.
No.
Maybe like, oh, this is what it's called. Yes. I send you a picture because I want to buy it for Tommy or you want to buy it for Paris. Rubbing it on you gives, and I want you to smell me all day long so you'll be thinking about me.
Hollowed out. And also that she said she liked it, then he drove home, and then on a different occasion he returned and rubbed it on her.
He remembered.
Hate it.
He thought
hate
about it.
I hate it. That poor teacher.
I would also just like to say, and I'm not victim blaming, I'm just saying, with boundaries and teachers and parents, don't say you like their cologne. Even though it might sound innocuous, it can come across as flirty and you're crossing a boundary. And now look, now you've got cologne rubbed on your wrist.
You know, and like you said, it's not the teacher's fault because you couldn't know that a person that's seemingly an innocuous comment was going to take it and be like, now I'm going to, and he didn't even bring her the treats and the goodies.
But even if she didn't know that, I think teacher-parent boundaries, and you know that that dad's married, you don't say stuff like that. You don't say, I like your cologne. That's, you know what I mean? Like, you just don't comment on stuff like that when you're, when parents are dropping their kids off to your classroom.
No, I probably would never. I mean, like, something like that, it would have to be, like, the greatest smell you've ever smelled and a reason for it. Like you said, I really want to get that for my husband. Mm-hmm. But even then, you're like, I want to smell the smell that I'm smelling and fuck that smell later. Because, like, the implication is I'm getting it for my husband, and therefore now the smell that you're – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even
– Yeah, no, it's weird.
There's something to that. Well, we have a third update as well.
How old's the kid, did she say?
She did not say the child's age. It just said pickups for our son. So I'd say grade school probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, final update. I did meet with the other mom, but it was brief since her husband was there the whole time.
I bet he was. He wants some answers too.
It turns out her husband was the one who pushed her to reach out to me in the first place because he felt uncomfortable. She seemed really nervous or uncomfortable around me, which was odd. I'm starting to suspect there may have been more flirting, maybe over text, but I don't know for sure. I was really hoping she was a girl's girl, but I didn't get that vibe. They are moving away, but as many of you mentioned, I think my husband was potentially testing the waters to see if cheating was an option. My husband has also completely shut down. He won't talk at all and will literally walk out of the room if I bring it up. Feeling stuck, but very grateful for the support here. Thank you all again. Snail trails.
Girl, your next appointment should be with a divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
If he just won't talk to you about it, all right, then we can't continue on in this relationship.
Come on. Yeah, it's like you cannot have a relationship where someone's just like, nope, I will not discuss. Yeah. And you're like, cool, well, it's something that really is bothering me. And it's one thing if you discuss it and then one party is being unreasonable and you're like, I've been completely honest, I've told you and showed you everything and you still want to bring this up. But to just be like, I said what I said, shut up, woman.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No. And the thing that you're wanting to discuss is something I think any woman would want to discuss. It sounds like he was testing the waters to see how far maybe he could go. Also, just because I'm going to stir the pot a little bit more, maybe they're moving away because something more did happen. Maybe there were some texting going on before the cookie chocolate exchange, and her husband found out, and being the reasonable and rational one here was like, no, you need to, this is like inappropriate. You need to tell the wife that this is going on.
Yeah.
Because other ladies, Claire's like nervous because she knows she's been flirty, sending flirty texts.
Because she was getting not just cookies and delights out of it. I mean, eating delights, but also like compliments, attention, whatever. Even just to somebody who's been like, I drove 30 minutes to get you these. OP said he gave the OP the same stuff he gave Claire, but was like, oh yeah, I also got you this. Kind of like, wasn't, I went specifically and I drove out to get you this. He just was like, oh, I got these at this European market the day he came home. And then it wasn't until later when Claire asked for the coffee that he was like, I also gave her the same cookies, just so you know. And then that's when he like came clean or whatever. That's like way too friendly to be like,
yeah.
The times I've, again, like I've gotten gifts from like male friends when it's like, my wife and I went on vacation. Thanks for watching our dog. We got you this drink, you know, whatever. We got you a stuffy or something. It's not, I thought of you while I was, you know, while I was away.
No, that's weird. And, the behavior seems very sus. It, yeah. Like if you won't discuss it, it gives me, I just think you have something to hide.
Yeah.
So if you don't, then we need to talk about it. Mm-mm. And if you do, we also need to talk about it. So either way, if he's not letting you talk, then move on, sister.
Yeah. And I think, too, like the idea that he has the bad judgment that sends him to the school with cologne to put it on a teacher's wrist, yeah, that sends him 30 minutes out of the way to go get cookies. Like, and he doesn't want to discuss why those, then that's a person who's set in their ways, and like you can't continue to be married to them.
No, he sounds like he's, if he hasn't already cheated,
yeah,
that he's working his way up to that. And maybe he's already emotionally cheated.
No, and that's what everybody was like. He's escalating. Like he went from cologne on the wrist to getting treats, especially if that lady's husband also showed up to the coffee and it's like all weird vibes. Because if it was strictly just, hey, this is like if, you know, a random mom texts you and is like, totally weird, but Bill, your husband brought me these cookies. Like, they were really nice, but I'm happily married. I'm sure you are. It probably is just like a misunderstanding. I just wanted to get it out there in case he mentioned anything or there was nothing there. But for her to show up with her husband and just be like, there's nothing to say. It's like, bitch, there's so much to say. And we can tell now that there's so much to say.
Yeah, the husband showing up and also learning he's the one that said reach out adds to the layer of susness.
It does sort of seem more like the lady came home with cookies and the husband's like, where did those cookies come from? Mm-hmm. And the lady's like, oh, so-and-so's husband. And it's like, you should tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely tell her that. But
and that's a good man, Savannah. You should tell her that.
For real. But yeah, I think the non-apology is the deal breaker. Like the lack of communication and all the other shit potentially could have been explained away. Maybe.
Maybe. The fact that you weren't even willing to try, though, makes me think you got a lot more to hide.
Yeah. And that's what the OP was like. The big thing is the deceitfulness that is what is getting me, is that it was not until, it wasn't like, oh yeah, I went to the European market. I got you some cookies. I got Claire some cookies. You know, we'd been talking about them. So I was like, oh, while I was there, I got some. It was like you waited and then like felt like a cat covering up shit on a tile floor. Like, oh, just in case you go to coffee, in case it comes up. Like,
That's bold too. Although might also be trying to give her like a heads up of the other mom saying your husband's known as being really flirty.
That's true.
Maybe she knows something, you know, like you're like trying to get her to realize something without saying something, or maybe just bringing it up so she starts to pay attention a little bit more. If anyone said of Tommy, your husband is really flirty at drop off, first I would,
you're like,
I can't
what?
Even imagine.
Like, what?
Like he's just, it's 7 a.m. just
ladies,
flirting with people.
Ladies. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. Who wants chocolates?
You guys
line up.
Are rising.
I'll put them in your mouth for you.
You're shining and I'm rising, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And that's the other thing is the OP said, my husband has never been flirty with another woman in front of me. Never.
Well, of course, like, he hasn't.
Well, then he's saving it for somewhere else.
Yeah. He's being flirty when you're not around.
Yeah, no, I think, bless this lady's heart. But she did, she gave a little bit of background that they got together. Oh, I just scrolled past it. But she said, I was 33 when we met. He was 25. We've been we've been together this whole time. We have two kids together, ages 4 and 2 years old. I have a child from a previous relationship who is 8.
33 and 25
is when they met, and they're
so an 8-year difference. 25 when who I was at 25 and who I was at 33 are very different people.
Unfortunately, yeah. She's like, she's 39 and he's 31. And it's like, she might be like a mom with 3 kids and ready to have this life. And he has been flirting with the
rubbing. He's in the prime.
Yeah. He's been rubbing his mind. Cologne.
He's in the, yeah. But you have 2 kids, 3 really. Yeah. And yeah, it sounds like trouble's a brewing.
Yeah, lady, I say get out of there before he starts spraying somebody else. Well, let us know in the comments what you all think. Sinister Hood will be right back. You guys know that the goose is my little mini me slash other half slash I don't know what you'd call it. It's probably a, at this point, we're just family. I've had just realized I've had her for 14 years. I've had her since 2011, 13 years, 14 years. It's so long. And I realized, I was like, you've been here like my whole 20s or my whole 30s. Yeah. Like I'm about to be 40 and she's still around.
That's Kate. We got Kate in 2012.
Yeah.
2013, something like that. So, yeah.
And the buff in 2015, it's one of those where you're like, you just are part of this family.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They 100% are. And because of that, we want the absolute best for them, which is why we switched our dog food to Ollie. They offer fresh, protein-packed meals made with real human-grade ingredients, which is a win for your dog's health. And they offer 5 tasty recipes, all slow-cooked for top nutrition. And that is a win for your dog's happiness.
Ollie makes mealtime easy and exciting for you and your dog. Their food is human grade. So when the grid goes down, you can, you know what I mean? It's vet formulated and it's seriously tasty. I haven't tried it, but I might if the grid goes down.
Even I like lamb and blueberries.
Fuck it. Even picky pups get excited. Each meal is tailored to your dog's needs and comes in perfectly portioned, no mess packs. Plus they include a handy scoop and a fridge puptainer to keep things fresh. The Ollie app even offers real-time health support and uses data from other dogs to keep improving. It's smart, clean, and made to actually make your life easier.
And it does make life easier because I am a person that I like things that are for certain things. So the fact that the puptainer is specifically for the food with the scoop, I like having just all of it, and that is what that is for. Also, the treats. Oh, such good treats, and they come in the best resealable bags that have the best resealable grippy part.
It keeps it so
fresh. Any bag that I've ever had.
100%. Otherwise, the dog food gets all... Dogs don't want messed up biscuits either. They want it to be like crisp, and that's what Ollie gives them.
Crisp it.
Your dog's well-being starts with their food, and that's why Ollie delivers fresh, human-grade food that your dog will love. Head to ollie.com/creepy and tell them about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box, so if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box.
All right. Well, that's from the So Sinister tier, which is our kind of entry level tier. And then if you join the Ruling the Airwaves tier, one bonus that you get with that is our monthly live Q&As. And this next bit is from the July 2025 Q&A, and it was a good question we got.
Yeah, and the Q&As are live streamed, so we stream them on Crowdcast. You get to interact live in the chat. There are real-time questions that you can ask and upvote on. We answer the most upvoted 20 questions. Sometimes we'll go to 21 if we're feeling frisky, but we get asked all sorts of fun stuff, but especially we get asked all the different things we want to FMK.
Yeah, exactly. This is a little combo deal because it's advice for how to make friends as an adult, and then separately, FMK 3 inanimate objects that'll let you tune in and decide what they are, and then you can make the choice and play along yourself. But if you want to watch the video replay of this, we'll make sure it is linked in the episode description here. And that's the other thing is when you join Patreon, there's not just the last month's Q&A or the upcoming Q&A. We've been doing live Q&A since like April of 2019.
A long time. Long ass time. There's so much content on Patreon.
It's crazy.
I mean, you could spend months on there and just keep having stuff to listen to, because also each week we put out multiple things. So you're kind of, you know, it's hard to get caught up because we're putting out so much content on it.
We're going to catch you. So listen to this. Great question. Advice for making best friends as an adult. And then once you do make that best friend, then the two of you can sit together and decide which objects you're going to fuck, marry, or kill. Check it out. Well, Jordan asks, what is the secret to making a best friend as an adult?
Wow. That's a great question.
Well, we once weren't best friends. We one time didn't know each other as adults.
Yeah.
And then I set my sights on her. It was our first time we performed Diversary recently.
Yeah.
Amanda sent us a message. Yeah. So I think it was just like finding out we had mutual interest over time and a mutual willingness to be vulnerable. And I feel like a mutual willingness to be like compassionate and understanding. Like, I'll never forget like how early on in our friendship, you were like, I looked up an article on like how to best like work with partners with ADHD. And then I just sobbed because I was like, nobody I'd ever dated had even took a second to think like, oh, perhaps care or like interaction maybe looks different. And like having that realization. And I was like, everyone should treat me like that. And then it makes me want to, you know, like vice versa and stuff. So like, it makes like, I think the whole like treating people how you want to be treated and like being treated very well is like, oh,
the numbers game too. Like, we would hang out all the time.
Yeah.
And so the more you hang out, just naturally, like, you get to know each other better and or become closer and stuff.
Absolutely. And
find an activity you like Laurel said, like, we already had improv and comedy. So we had a lot of, and everyone would hang out at the comedy club.
True.
So like, we already hung out and stuff before, but not really. I mean, after we performed together, I guess.
A little
not
more.
Not long after that, I think, is when we first started recording, isn't it?
That was like, so 20, like summer of 17. So like around.
Cause I was pregnant when you performed with us.
Yeah. Right? So that would have been summer of 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started the show.
Summer of 17.
Where were you on the stage with me in the summer of 17? But yeah, Tommy said the real answer is to start a podcast with someone.
I mean,
no, yeah, I think we started it like
work with someone and be also friends with them.
Yeah. And I think having a third place helps too. And like a thing to do that's not your house. That's not just like go, like, I think hanging out at the house, but before, like, early on, we had like a reason to hang out. And then it was like, And that's what Laurel said. That's how Em and Christine became friends too.
Yeah.
See, it works. Start a podcast.
I mean, because it just plays into the numbers game thing though. Like, if you started a business with any friend, you're going to spend a lot of time with them, which just naturally leads to being a best friend, you know,
for real. Or like find like something that you do together. It doesn't have to be a podcast. Like, we always go walking, or we always go volunteer at this place together or whatever, and have like a fun,
you like crocheting maybe, or a book club,
fucking quilting, baby. Quilton, Melanie said the real answer is to find someone who is like your spouse. It's true, though. It's helpful.
We often say that what one of our spouses did is like what the other one of us
did. I'll come over and I'll say something, to Christine. She'll go, well, when that happened, why didn't blank? And I'm like, Paris asked me the same thing. Like, Paris literally said the same thing. I can't even remember the last time.
Smart guy.
Because it happens all the time. And she's like, well, yeah. Well, what'd you say? I was like, yeah, exactly. Quinn said Heather didn't even have a spouse when y'all met. Also helpful. Because then I was like, do y'all fuck with this guy? Like, should I? Is it cool? Oh, man. Well, great question, Jordan. It's always fun to have a little nostalgia.
Oh, yes.
Right before we shove an instrument in our pussy. Carrie Berry asks, fuck, marry, kill. Kazoo, harmonica, accordion. Done.
I mean, am I right in thinking they are all in the same genus? But there's just levels, right?
Blows. They all involve blowing.
In a degree of more blow or less blow.
And whether you use your mouth or it is a function.
Okay.
Accordion is a piano, no blowing, but it does function through air.
But it's this, a lot of this, right?
Yeah. Tommy said, that kazoo has an edge.
It's interesting what all of us are probably envisioning is how you, what you think of when you think of inanimate objects in an FMK situation like this. Are you like assigning a personality?
Like Clippy the paperclip?
Yeah.
Are they like, I want to blow you.
Yeah.
Or is it more mechanical? Like, well, the kazoo has a rough edge. I don't want that. But I was thinking more like
the harmonica.
What is a kazoo about?
Yeah. It's, you know, blowing hard, baby.
But okay.
Okay.
I think I've got it.
You ready to F on three?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Kazoo.
Interesting.
Please explain.
It feels like it'd be kind of fun.
The kazoo is the one where you go, right?
Yeah.
So a harmonica is similar, but it's just more notes and back and forth, right?
I feel like with the kazoo, it's going to do one thing super well, and that's all I need of it.
I respect that.
What about the harmonica? You're trying to get all them notes?
Well, I feel like
trying to play it up and down.
Harmonica is like,
I was thinking,
used with the mouth. There's a lot of blowing.
Yeah.
It's, you can change the intensity because you're making different music. Also sounds better than a kazoo.
True, it does.
I guess that depends on who you've got. If you've got true. Don Hopper and the best kazoo player in the world. Or the best kazoo player and the worst harmonicist.
And then it's just like,
perhaps
I can't
you like the kazoo more.
I can't listen to that anymore. Get it. I'm just going.
So, yeah.
Mary.
Okay.
One, two, three. Harmonica. Interesting.
Okay.
I think because it's I like the sound of a harmonica. Sings blues. Makes me think of John Mayer plays harmonica. Dan Aykroyd plays harmonica. I feel like it's like got a good sound.
Oh, harmonious.
Harmonious. That's yeah. It's like, and it's not too much sound. I was worried about the accordion being too much sound.
Oh yeah. And like, I've done it to myself.
Moving all over the place. And it's like, and
I it's really just don't like know solo. What an accordion sounds like. I was thinking it's big and can create like
a family,
a lot of like emotion, but maybe that's not what I want.
You
want
to hear an accordion?
I'm the accordion. There can't be two of us.
You need a player. Hate the player. Hate the accordion.
I need a harmonica.
This is under accordion classics. This kind of goes hard though.
I like this.
It's called Indifference.
Oh, and you have to do this a lot on the phone. Okay.
I might have spoken too soon about an accordion. Okay.
What about somebody playing it, because you do this with your fingers a lot, which is helpful. Let's see what we got here. So far, I think I'm okay with my decision.
I might be coming over to the accordion side.
And then I was gonna kill kazoo just because it seemed like it did the least of all of them.
Let's see videos.
Damn, I don't know if this is a lost art because I don't know. It's not playing here. You do a lot of things. Multitask when you're married.
That's true. They could be doing two things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Also good for other stuff too.
Let's see if I can show
you. Someone said harmonica. Is that the one that you play? You have breath and hand coordination.
Zydeco music too. Oh, Weird Al. That's impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Impressive. Well,
I don't really know how it's even working. It's like a tiny organ.
It does.
Around.
And you just blow yourself. So it sounds like the accordion is the one to marry.
That's what I'm doing.
Carrie Berry, one to marry. Goddamn, it's a piano plus air.
Okay.
Nice. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. If you're still overpaying for wireless, it's time to say yes to saying no. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. No contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees, no BS. Here's why we said yes to making Mint Mobile our show phone line for just $15 a month.
It is true. Their plans start at just $15 a month, and Mint Mobile gives you premium wireless service on the nation's largest 5G network. The coverage and speed you're used to, but way less money. And the best part? You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. You don't have to make any changes except you're going to get more money back, which we all want more of that.
And you don't have to look at your bill and wonder what you're getting charged with and what it's going to be. They make it so upfront, so easy to switch. And once you have switched and you're on their plan, it's so easy to see everything and to keep up with it. And you're not like, what are all these like extra line items that I don't recognize? Or what do you mean I can't just switch my phone anytime I want, holding me hostage? Not with Mint Mobile, baby.
Mm-mm. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's mintmobile.com/sinisterhood.
Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. All right. Well, that is our ruling the airwaves tier. And then the getting into it tier is the next possible tier. So it includes all the stuff you've listened to so far. And it includes another live stream where we do a bonus content performance 4 times a year. We do these quarterly, and we just did one that's kind of Halloween themed.
Yeah. We let everyone in this tier vote on it too. We don't actually throw up. We put a poll on Patreon of all the different bits we do, like Judge Christie or Am I the Asshole or all of those things. And then we let all of you vote on which one we're going to do. And then we live stream it. Again, everyone's chatting and stuff. It's such a fun time. This most recent one was Am I the Asshole, but spooky Halloween edition. Yeah. And it was a very good time.
It was a fun time. This one, actually, it's both Halloween, but also, honestly, we could have brought this one before Judge Christie, because I feel like this woman is entitled to compensation. Yes. Anytime someone's like, I'm going to leave a negative review, I'm like, okay. But then you hear them out and you're like, you need to file a lawsuit.
We all need to go leave a negative review on behalf of this woman. And
like, seriously,
the terror and horror she endured.
No joke. Like, if this is one of those where it's like, what would you do? To weigh in on social media on the comments. What
Please.
Would you do?
And what would you do?
If you want to watch the full replay of this, this is also on Crowdcast. When we do the live streams on Crowdcast, you can go back and watch the video anytime on Crowdcast. And also we put the audio in the feed, so you can just listen to it as you would another episode of something as well, if you just want to turn it on in the background. So go check it out. We'll make sure it's linked in the description. And, content warning for chlorophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on from decorations, another thing that we do at haunted houses is go to haunted houses.
We do.
So this one is, am I the asshole for leaving a bad review / possibly reporting a haunted house actor after he crossed the line?
Ooh.
For context, I'm a 21-year-old female, and I feel like this is important when talking about this. A few weeks ago, during the end of Halloween season, some friends and I went to a haunted house. When we arrived, there were some scare actors hanging around the check-in area. After we checked in, there were a few stairs that we needed to go up before actually getting in the queue. When we got to the top of the stairs, there were a couple of clowns waiting for us. No big deal, part of the fun. However, there was one clown in particular that was kind of being a bit weird. He was getting down on all fours, acting like a dog, barking and smelling everyone's shoes. Mm-hmm. We all felt his nose touch our shoes, and he was sniffing really hard.
His real nose or his clown nose?
Great question. She didn't specify. This lasted for about 20 seconds, and it did weird me out quite a bit, but I just thought maybe I was being dramatic since it really didn't seem to affect my friends that much. I shrugged it off and got in the queue with my friends. I noticed while we were waiting, that same clown had now made his way to the queue and was messing around with other people that were waiting in line, just kind of doing the typical in-your-face stuff, so I didn't pay much attention. Here's where it gets pretty weird for me. I think that during the shoe-smelling thing, he kind of knew that it threw me off more than it did my other friends. Mm. And when he noticed my...
You can't show weakness. They're like sharks.
Clowns.
Yeah. Make him smell fear.
Clearly, he's sniffing it out.
Yes, it says, when he noticed my friend group in line, he immediately came over to us, but his eyes were locked on me. I was with three other friends, two girls and one guy. The two friends that are girls were having their own side conversation while I was conversing with the male friend. The clown came over to us. He faced me, stuck his tongue out, and got maybe 2 inches from my face and was trying to lick me.
Oh!
I don't know if he would have actually licked me or if it was just for show, but I noticed that his breath absolutely reeked of alcohol.
Oh.
I also, I don't mean to sound ageist or anything, but I could tell that under the makeup, this was an older guy, maybe late 40s, early 50s, and that part also made me feel off. Anyway, as he's doing this, I definitely got uncomfortable and was starting to show it. I was kind of backing away, but I couldn't back away as much as I needed to because there were ropes between the lines. Every time I stepped back, he would step closer. He kept his tongue out the entire time and was incredibly close to my face. At first, I was showing my uncomfortableness by kind of laughing, but it kept going. We were probably about 2 minutes into him doing this before I stopped giggling and laughing, and I was straight-faced looking at him. I kept telling him, please stop, and that I was uncomfortable. I wasn't uncomfortable in the haunted house in the creepy way. I was generally... I was not uncomfortable in the haunted house creepy way. I was genuinely uncomfortable and wanted it to stop. The man then got down on the floor and started smelling my shoes again like he did at the beginning when we first arrived. I didn't laugh or engage, but instead looked at my male friend.
I'm kicking him in the face.
Dog, at some point, I looked at my male friend with the help me look. My friend tried to say some stuff to get him to go away, but the man wouldn't even acknowledge it. He got back up again, did the smelling thing, and I kept telling him to stop and that it was uncomfortable. All he would do was respond with weird noises and get a little closer.
Nah.
Now, I didn't want to make a scene because one of the friends I was there with wanted to do this for her birthday and I didn't want to ruin it, and she'd been looking forward to it. But after a few more minutes, he finally walked away. The reason why I'm posting this is for a couple reasons. First one, am I being overdramatic? I know there's supposed to be a creepy, weird side to haunted houses, but I've done haunted houses and I've never encountered a scare actor like this before. And second is, of course, the title. Would I be an asshole for leaving a really bad review about this place based on the experience I had? And before anyone possibly asks, I did not let any staff member know about this because, again, I didn't want to ruin my friend's party and because I wasn't sure if the staff would take it seriously since it was a haunted house and they're supposed to be a bit weird.
I don't think you should let that stop you from reporting something. If something makes you uncomfortable, what the hell did I just do? I just spilled shit all over myself.
Babe, would you bring some?
I think I got.
Oh, you got some tissues.
Sorry.
Okay. No worries. It's just some. It's luckily it's black.
Black velvet.
Black velvet, baby. I'm gonna make a poll.
If something makes you uncomfortable, whether it's like that's what you're there for or not, you have every right to say something to someone. This guy does not seem like he was sober.
No.
And like he was doing it to, you know, push your boundaries more than actually like have fun and scare you. After I've told somebody once to stop it, if they haven't, if you're down there by my feet, I'm about to kick you upside your head.
For real.
Or I'm going to slap that dry ass tongue that you've been sticking out of your mouth for 2 minutes.
No, if somebody got that close to my face, I can't say I wouldn't spit at them.
No.
Like if you're this
get close out of my face.
And I might say, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to spit on you 3, 2, and then I would spit on them on one.
And I would have also told staff.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think that's going to ruin. Yeah, first of all, this person's like, he's an older man. I'm 46.
She's like, you know, an elderly person in their mid to late 40s. And it's like, okay, child.
But I think you could say something without it ruining your friend's birthday. That, to me, is more of an excuse that you didn't want to have to confront someone. So you're using it as an excuse not to. Or call him the next day or some shit.
Tommy said, yeah, you could leave a review and call the next day, or, you know, call and speak with someone. But yeah, you could have just gone through the haunted house and then at the end been like, just so you know, that clown I think is drunk. And he was like sniffing. He's like a foot fetish.
And they're like, we don't have any clowns on staff. You're like, well, then we have a bigger problem.
The fucking gird your sneakers.
But that is true. Like Lindsay said, how can you tell someone is in costume versus a staff member? And that's kind of the thing with haunted houses is I don't know that you can.
Yeah. What if they do say we don't have people?
Yeah. I mean, or they're like, well, it's a haunted house. I mean, there's some haunted houses where like things are more extreme than others. And you go into it knowing that you have to sign stuff for.
Right. Like a whole ass waiver.
Yeah. Or, you know, it says everywhere too, like, don't touch the scare actors. Well, then don't touch me.
Right. I'm like, it goes both ways, baby. Don't jump out at
me. And yeah, they're technically not touching you. But if someone is making you uncomfortable and you've told them multiple times in a non-funny way, like, knock it off. This isn't fun for me.
It's scary. And especially if it's something, when it gets into, you don't know what he's got. Like, if someone's like giving you the flu, because they're, you know, with their tongue.
First of all, we're in a post-COVID world. Don't like, stick
your nasty ass face.
Drunk clown tongue out at me.
Yeah. And Heather said, I work at a haunt. No actor should be using alcohol or drugs. The haunt would want to know if an actor is crossing the line for liability.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if he's drunk, he might grope, grab, actually lick someone.
God. Yep. Or you've messed with the wrong person. Yeah.
But it is scary to think there's a person that's already been told you can broach social norms up to an extent, and then now they're inebriated, like,
and not even, they don't have the boundary of up to this point you can break the norm. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm just gonna do whatever I want and think it's funny.
For sure. Paris said drunk clown tongue is a band. For sure, dude. Yeah, around if he's drunk, he may go around sniffing women's,
and that's what he was doing. It sounds like a weird fetish thing.
He's like, it's like almost a reason to, like, if you're a creep, that you're like, I'm gonna get a job where I can
absolutely
get close to the feet.
I think that, I wouldn't say that's the case all the time, but I wouldn't say that there aren't people that don't get their kicks doing haunted house stuff, and you know,
or get your kicks being like, I'm gonna go work at a shoe store.
maybe that too. I was trying to think of the last time I've been to a haunted house, like a real one.
Yeah, trying to see. Yeah, you get your kicks. Funny. Well, I think overwhelmingly our poor haunted house clown attack victim is not the asshole.
No. And they should still call and let somebody know.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This episode of Sinisterhood is brought to you by Graza. Graza is our olive oil of choice. It's delicious, easy to use, extra virgin olive oil at an affordable everyday price. Graza is always fresh. They pick, press, and bottle all of their oils in the same season. You can even see the harvest date on every bottle, like it's a little birthday, and then you can have a birthday party for it every year if you'd like.
Yeah, Graza has not one but two extra virgin olive oils to stock your kitchen. They're Sizzle, their everyday cooking oil that's perfect for roasting, sautéing, and, well, anything you cook. They also have Drizzle, a super punchy, flavorful finishing oil that's great for dipping bread, whipping up a salad dressing, drizzling over ice cream, or putting on my morning toast every day. It's seriously our favorite olive oil to use.
Oh, I use it on salads. Tommy uses every single one of them to cook. They're a staple right next to our stove. Literally every day we use them. They're so great. Another thing we love about them is the convenience, because they come in these super fun squeeze and spray bottles. So you don't have to worry about messy tins or drippy spouts. You just aim, squeeze, and you're ready to go, baby.
That's what I do on my toast in the morning. Just go scoot, 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 scoot. I like to be able to squirt it into the pan too whenever I'm cooking.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm on a TV show and I'm like, yes, chef, just squirt. I'm not, by the way. I'm just making eggs.
Yes, chef.
Yeah.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef. But I love my Graza. And as you hear this, I'm in the middle of the ocean without it. And it's on my counter and I miss it at home.
Damn.
But I'll see you soon, Drizzle, baby. I'll be home. Mom will be home soon.
We'll get you a present on the cruise.
I'll bring you a t-shirt back, little one.
Oh, a tiny little onesie. And then you can put it on your little counter.
Be home soon.
You'll get 10% off your first order of any olive oil on their site, but we wholeheartedly recommend the Graza Duo. You'll receive two bottles of extra virgin olive oil, Sizzle for cooking and Drizzle for finishing, with an extra kick of bold flavor.
Well, that was, man, just still thinking about that guy. Fuck. I hope he doesn't work at the haunted house anymore.
No, I hope his tongue got so dried that it just shriveled up like a dried apricot in his mouth.
Yeah, speaking of people, speaking of people we wish ill on, some of the attendees at the performance we're about to talk about in this next clip, I got beef with them, because we're about to tell y'all about a crazy night for an artist that we both deeply respect.
Yeah, this was one of our most recent minisodes, and I can't recommend enough the documentary about Marina Abramović. And her performance at the MoMA, but also Rhythm Zero that we're going to talk about in this one, and just what it takes to have the mentality to commit yourself to art like that.
I don't know if I'm ready, because on my birthday, I found a deck of cards I showed you already that is called the Marina Abramovich Method. Mm-hmm. And I took it with me to this Thai restaurant last night. I'm just like eating. I was like, all right, I'm going to read through this book and see maybe if I want to do all these cards. It's 30 cards. So that gets you into the mindset of creating like Marina Abramovich, which is she is one of the foremost performance artists that's pretty widely respected. Her methods are thought of as some of the most intensive. And I'll tell you what, card number one is set your alarm for 6 a.m. Immediately when it goes off, jump out of bed, no hesitation, and run fully nude outside and walk in the grass fully nude for 15 minutes. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to find a time. I was like, at first
What's card two?
I thought maybe I'll take these on the cruise and I'll do them on the cruise. And then I thought, I don't want to get thrown off the cruise.
No, yeah. Oh, man. They do have a gym. So you could hit up the treadmill or just run around Lido deck.
Yes. But I'm naked. She was like, you need to walk around barefoot. And I was like, in a cruise ship? Like, no. So I think I'm going to have to do like a weekend getaway to an Airbnb with like, that's like way out and no one can see me. And then I can do maybe with a really tall fence. But you'll hear in this next clip about Rhythm Zero, which is one of her most famous performances. And why she might have a real interesting set of cards like that.
Yeah, for sure. On a chilly night in 1974, inside Studio Mora in Naples, Marina arranged 72 objects on a table, spanning the spectrum from innocent to lethal, including a rose, a feather, matches, perfume, lipstick, honey, bread, grapes, wine, scissors, a scalpel, nails, saws, a metal bar, and a gun alongside one bullet.
Boy, when you're drugging.
A grocery list of things.
Yeah, you're just taking it out of the suitcase like we do when we show up to do a performance somewhere. She just accused us, this is our puppet, this is our moon, this is our... No, she's like, this is my gun and my saw and my nail and my scalpel.
And we're going to see what happens when I put them all out.
Uh-huh.
At 8 p.m., she initiated her most extreme work of the Rhythm series, known as Rhythm Zero, with one simple rule. She would stand motionless and allow the public to do anything they wished with her using those objects. A sign proclaimed,
I am the object. I take full responsibility. Duration, 6 hours.
6 hours of standing there, letting complete strangers have all of those things. Most dangerously, I would say, is the gun with the bullet. She's fully aware what could happen and has accepted it. Like, if someone shoots me, then that's how I die.
Yeah. And the idea of like, if someone perpetuates violence and there are other witnesses, because it wasn't like you go in one at a time. It's like a crowd of people can be around while these things are happening. Like, perhaps someone is willing to pick up a scalpel or whatever. But I like for her, the thesis being, what do people do as like reactions?
When given a arrangement of different things that they could use on me. Are we picking up the feather? Mm-hmm. Or are we picking up a scalpel? Her goal, to test human nature when power is handed to strangers. She later reflected,
what is the public about and what are they going to do in this kind of situation?
She soon got her answer. In the first hour, audience actions were cautious and courteous. Visitors offered her a rose or a gentle kiss, held up the feather, brushed her hair, or smeared lipstick across her mouth. Witness Thomas McIvely wrote that people
turned her arms around and touched her in intimate ways
as they tested boundaries.
In addition to violence, I felt like groping, grabbing would
be. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've said anything goes, and it is a very interesting social experiment to see, like, what does that mean and how many people are in the room before someone decides to do something and then the mob mentality sets in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what are people's urges of like, I've been told I can do anything, so I choose sex. I choose violence. I choose kindness and softness. Damn.
But around the third hour, the tone shifted. The crowd had realized she would not resist. A man took scissors or razor blades to cut her clothes off in places until she was half naked. As disrobing became normalized, the crowd grew even more daring. Participants used scissors and scalpel blades on Marina's skin. One spectator drug the thorns of a rose across her body until they pierced her flesh, drawing blood. Another sliced her skin with a knife. One horrified witness described how someone put their mouth over an open wound on her neck and sucked Marina's blood.
People.
Well, everyone has their own way of interacting with art, I suppose.
You're given a rose, and your thought is not, I'm going to caress her face with the rosebud, but I'm going to jam the thorns into her until she bleeds. Like, what is wrong with you?
To play devil's advocate, why put those things out if you weren't expecting it? Or, you know, I mean, that's part of the experiment is, like, if people only had feathers, that's not going to get that interesting, you know? But to test what people really... their urges are and what they're willing to do, you got to have some dangerous instruments on the table.
Yeah, and even if they don't have instruments, they're willing to just put their mouth on your open wound now and suck your blood.
Yeah, that's real gross. But it is interesting how it was about the third hour when the shift happened. And all it took was one man deciding, okay, we're going to escalate this. And once, like in so many situations with a crowd, once one person is like, all right, this is okay to do now. Then everyone's like, all right, well, the seal's been broken, so gloves are off.
Yeah, they're like, well, no one's stopping us. There's not like a docent being like, don't get closer to her, you know, don't suck her blood. Literally, if she is standing there, I think it is a reflection more on the crowd even than her that she's like, it's anything is possible with these people coming in, but what will you all show me that you are? And it's like, several people didn't suck her blood, sir, and you were the only one that did. So I think that's something for you to maybe explore when you get home.
Seems like it's not healthy or sanitary would be my concern.
No, from either party.
Yeah. As if to, quote, repair this violence, another attendee plastered a Band-Aid over one of the cuts, a darkly tender gesture amid the mounting cruelty. Others scribbled lipstick or inscriptions on her body and pinned words like vile to her chest. Participants began to treat her like a puppet. Some carried her around the room or placed her atop the table, as though she were a lifeless object. At one point, they jabbed the knife between her legs into the wooden table. The crowd split. Some reveled in cruelty, while others tried to protect her.
Yeah, I'm sure even as like a participant, you're watching going like, whoa, 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 we're not really going to stab this lady, right? Like, come on. But there are other people that are like, she said we could do anything. Let's lay her down on the table and see what happens when we put a knife near her vagina.
You know, I think maybe that's also part of it is seeing what parts of humanity are going to step up and protect someone in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm. You're the Band-Aid person, just the one like, I don't know if this will help, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I got there and this was going on, I would feel a sense of like responsibility to stay there the entire time just like, to make sure nobody picked up the fucking gun and shot her.
Right. I'm like, where are the girls in this? I'm sorry. I mean, it's the 70s. I get it. But like nowadays, I feel like there would be a lot more like fun, you know, moms and aunts and grandmas. Like we're going to form a circle around her for 6 hours. Like you don't need to touch her.
Marina reflected to the MoMA later.
In the beginning, the public was really very much playing with me. Later on, it became more aggressive. It was 6 hours of real horror.
The most shocking moment came when someone picked up the loaded revolver and placed it in Marina's hand. The woman maneuvered it so the gun pointed at Marina's neck, sliding her index finger toward the trigger. Marina explained,
"Somebody put the bullet in the pistol and put my hand in to see if I was pressing it, her hand against my hand, if I would resist."
In that flash, a stranger could have ended her life. Yet still, Marina neither flinched nor cried out. You got a steel reserve for that to be going on. Interesting, too, that it was a woman that picked up the gun.
I know. First. To see if that, if, to see if she would resist is like interesting that that was Marina's take. I mean, obviously it was horrible, but when feeling that woman's hand on hers, it wasn't like she was feeling like a threat. It was almost like she was feeling like a person pushing the boundaries. Like, are you going to fight now back? Like, what are you going to do? So I wonder what the, I'd be interested to hear the woman that picked the gun up, what her reasoning was. Was it to see, like, I really wanted to see if she would break character essentially, or, I don't know. I liked how it felt.
Maybe.
Yeesh.
Terrified, some audience members rushed in and intervened, pulling the gun away. Some pushed forward to protect her, while others shouted to stop them. For a brief, horrifying moment, the crowd physically and emotionally collided. A split formed between those driven by violence and those moved by sudden empathy. One art critic described the crowd's behavior with a kind of disbelief.
It began tamely. The Neapolitan night began to heat up. In the third hour, all her clothes were cut from her. In the fourth hour, the same blades began to explore her skin. Her throat was slashed so someone could suck her blood, and various minor sexual assaults were carried out on her body.
Marina later reflected,
I was so committed to the peace,
that she would not have resisted rape or murder.
Man, it's, I mean, just... It's a microcosm, certainly, but I don't think it's unreasonably reflective of, like, the broader society, given, you know, what we know. We, like I said,
no.
I'm glad to see that some people jumped in to try to protect her. And I wonder if the people that are like, get away, are like, you're messing up the art piece. But it's like, the art piece was, she doesn't move and we get to do whatever we want. So protecting her is one of the whatever we want. Like, yeah. I don't think she was like, you guys can do anything to me, but nobody stop them. Like, no, stopping
but
them.
She also wasn't like, you guys can do anything to me, but stop them if they're going to rape or kill me.
No, just stop them if they're going to do anything if you want to. I think it's an indictment almost on the audience. Like, if you're going to something like this where you are now a part of the performance, there's a responsibility of the audience member. But that's a resolve I don't have of, like, I won't break for anything.
I would never put myself in a situation where rape or murder was, or any type of sexual assault was something that I was going to allow because I was so committed to an art piece, but I'm also, I don't create in that way. So yeah. It's hard for me to have the mindset that she does. I mean, what a powerful and, I mean, piece that would last forever if that did happen. And then, you know, she talked about like, well, I said they could do anything and I was committed to it and someone decided to sexually assault me. So what does that tell us about XYZ? And we can draw from that. But to protect ourselves as artists is she had a different, I think, idea of how to protect herself. And maybe that comes from growing up in a war-torn country. Like her, you know, her life and childhood was much different than ours.
That's a good point, too. And also, to be fair to her, the Museum of Modern Art is not, you know, scrambling to interview me anytime soon, you know, like, whereas she is has, like, entire pieces about, like, her contribution. So it's one of those where, like, as an artist, what are you willing to give? And she sounded like she was willing to give anything, and luckily she did not have to. I mean, what happened to her was bad enough, I think, but it thankfully at least didn't go even further.
At precisely 2 a.m., the gallery steward declared Rhythm Zero over. Marina slowly shifted out of her trance, took her first steps, and approached the stunned audience. Without a word, the spectators fled. The same people who had violated her now ran the other way. Marina told the Museum of Modern Art decades later,
I remember after 6 hours when the gallerists come and say, this piece, it's finished, that I start being myself and start walking through the audience naked and with blood and tears in my eyes. Everybody ran away, literally ran out the door.
I think that says a lot about a human's capability. When you see something as an object and you have that connection removed, it's a lot easier to do things to them than you would when you realize, oh, this is a person just like me. They cry, they bleed, they have feelings, they can walk and talk. Mm-hmm. And now I'm very uncomfortable with what I've done. So peace out.
Yeah, like I don't want to take responsibility. I think while she had to go to these extremes, she exposed a huge part of humanity, which is to say, if you don't recognize the human nature in others, you're willing to do just about anything. And it's that, it's not like, oh, it's this dastardly evil villain that lives on a hill and is, you know, got henchmen or whatever. It's like a taxi driver, a barista, a shopkeeper. Like they're like average people are capable of extreme crazy violence given often the right circumstances. You know, like if you got the opportunity, they're willing to do it.
Marina was later asked what the worst part of the ordeal was. She answered,
"A man pressed the gun hard against my temple. I could feel his intent, and I heard the women telling the men what to do. The worst was the one man who was just there, always, just breathing. This, for me, was the most frightening thing. After the performance, I cannot get rid of the feeling of fear for a long time. Because of this performance, I know where to draw the line so as not to put myself at such risk." Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hey there, it's Christy. If you're loving Sinisterhood, you need to check out Crimes Up, the newest show from Crimehouse Studios. Hosted by Sabrina Deanna Roga and Corinne Vian of Two Girls, One Ghost, Crimes Up is a weekly true crime anthology series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, mysterious disappearances, and more.
For their first season, Sabrina and Corinne are diving into Crimes of Infamy, the real-life events behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains, from cult classics to massive franchises.
Norman Bates, Buffalo Bill, Ghostface, Jason Voorhees, the names alone are enough to send a shiver down your spine. And now you'll be immersed into the chilling crimes that inspired them.
Crimes Of is a Crime House original powered by Pave Studios. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen. Well, this next one, Your Honor, this came before your court.
As so many do. And thank you to everyone who brings their petty grievances to my court. Heather, my perfect bailiff, curates them from our listeners and then sometimes also from Reddit, because there's no shortage of people that need a jail sentence on Reddit.
Right. Or people, in this case, this guy deserves compensation, and whoever did this to him, they probably deserve a jail sentence. This is a cautionary tale about being online and content creation.
Truly. We live in a digital age now more than ever where stuff like this happens, and it's a good reminder to check your facts. Make sure that what you're reading and what you're watching is the original source and not people trying to make you think something untoward's going on when it's not.
I was like, well, if we can piss you off, you'll comment, and then we can have your time and attention. And that might be what's going on. But y'all, Judge Christie has made her ruling, but you can listen and decide what you think. This next one is a petitioner versus the internet, honestly. Oh. I'm going to call it the case of the dubiously dubbed dad dance.
Okay.
My 41-year-old male, 15-year-old daughter filmed myself and my youngest daughter, 12-year-old female, doing a short skit where my 12-year-old hid behind me, then jumped out and appeared in time with some music. A TikTok account has taken our video and put text over it saying, "I'm 5'11. Guess how much shorter my wife is." My daughter then jumps out and does her dance. It received hundreds of thousands of shares and loads of furious comments. This included me being personally doxxed.
Because the daughter, they're thinking that's his wife.
Whoever stole the video implied that the 12-year-old is married to the 41-year-old.
Okay. Yikes.
The petitioner says, the TikTok account that created this has been suspended, but the video keeps being re-uploaded on similar accounts. Most are using the same sort of words in their usernames, like Max Drama, then TikTok Drama OMG, then TikTok Drama. I've had calls to my employer and angry messages sent to both me and my daughters. The police have been called out to my house. They did a cursory check, and I explained what was going on, so they left shortly thereafter. There's an undertone of racism, given that I'm not white. The comments discuss this being, quote, common in my culture. I'm from the UK, but I moved to Florida 2 years ago for work. Realistically, what can I do here? I don't know if it helps, but I can share a copy of the video, but to moderators only. So he did not make the video public.
That them is innocent. A bummer.
Dude.
Dude, this is what happens with things on the internet. It's like sometimes they get away from you and it literally is not yours anymore. It becomes the internet's and it just fucking takes off.
Yeah, and you like can't defend yourself, essentially. Mm-hmm. He said he tried doing Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA takedowns, and like say, like, essentially, this is my video. It's copyright infringement. And he's like, I've done this over and over and over. It doesn't matter. For instance, Drama Talk 2024 will get taken down, but all of a sudden, Drama Talk Max 24 will appear and re-upload it. So he said it feels like it's just over and over again.
And these are specific accounts?
Just like random accounts.
Like the Max account or whatever? Or that's the hashtag?
That's the account name. So it's like just all spam accounts that just take videos and repost them.
I guess you just have to keep reporting the accounts. I don't know that anything gets done with that necessarily.
Yeah, he said it's like whack-a-mole. I've been reporting it over and over.
It's exhausting. You could make your own, you know, like an explanation video. It's not going to reach everybody that saw the other video.
Right.
But, maybe it comes up still, or at least it could come up.
Yeah. He said, I think my daughter didn't realize this was public. My 15-year-old. Because the older sister's like, hey, sis, get behind dad and we'll do this video. And then you like accidentally ruin your dad's life.
Yeah.
And he's like, her account was private and locked down. I'm not sure how anyone saw it. If she did.
Why be an asshole and put that text over it? Like, whoever did that knows that's not real. So, like, it's just rage bait. And you don't, or maybe you do realize the implications this can have. And, like, it really can destroy somebody's life.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like he is being doxxed. And, like, the other thing is to also be wary when you see, like, stuff on the internet being like, this guy's an asshole. And it's like, maybe that's, like, not even, you know, unless it's, like, even now, I was going to say, unless it's like him going, I'm married to this 12-year-old. But even so, like with AI now, like you might not even know that. Like he's like, that's not me saying that.
That's yuck. Yeah, it's AI. Damn. I don't think there's anything you can do. I mean, Literally. We've seen like celebrities try to get shit scrubbed from the internet with zero success. So just a normal person's TikTok account, I don't think you have much luck there, buddy.
Right? Like Sucks. You said, even doing like a video that's like, hi, that's me, that's my daughter, and someone stole this video might eventually go viral, but like there's no chance that every person that saw it, you know, it's like gonna unsee it. I hope with like more, I hope, because it's coming and I don't think we can stop it. But because AI is being used to synthesize data, like such large quantities of data, a company like TikTok, who might not necessarily now be able to say, a TikTok worker will go every single time this is posted and delete it. If you had AI to be like, oh, we've already flagged this as a stolen fake content, we're going to essentially take it away and absent the user going, no, I promise this is me. I think we'll see a lot more filters like that.
Well, in that regard, I think that could be a good safety feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially right with now, stuff that's like real fucked up.
Yeah. Or like AI stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going viral and stuff. If it's like, I think about that, you and I, like our faces and voices and stuff like that, you can make like a fake, like, hey, we love Turning Points USA. Yeah. It's the place where we get most of our information. And it would look and sound just like us. And you'd be like, what happened to them? We'd be like, it was AI, dude. It was AI every time. That's why you got to put your hands on screen so they always know.
Always.
AI, so they always can't know. Oh, but I feel so bad for this guy because, like,
if you
knew who was posting it, you could sue them for defamation, false light. You know, they're literally casting you as a pedophile when you are not a pedophile.
Yeah.
But how are you going to, if the person reposting it is a 12-year-old kid with in a bot farm in some other country, like,
yeah,
you're shit out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well be trying to get into that basement in Alaska. I don't think sub basement.
That it goes down deeper. It goes deeper.
I think it's a good reminder that once something is on the internet, it is on the internet. So, I mean, perhaps in this situation, the kid didn't realize they were making it public. But for all of us, if you do realize that you're posting something public, just keep in mind that, like, or maybe it doesn't even have to be public because a lot of people's accounts are set to private, but screenshots can happen from anybody.
And reporting.
So, you know, just keep that in mind too. Downloads of videos. I mean, people can do whatever they want. And also, like, people take screenshots and then you don't know who their friends are. Or sometimes your settings, like, it's friends of friends that can see things you're tagged in. And then it's like, well, I don't know the friend of the friend who this is. So,
right. Or, like, you'll be like, so-and-so tagged you in a photo, and it'll be, like, some strange name you don't know liked or commented. And I'm like, this person's looking what I did all weekend, and I don't know them.
Yeah.
But it is something to be cognizant of. Well, yeah, it sounds like most people are just like,
Did anybody have any suggestions, or is it kind of like you're shit out of luck?
Pretty much your shit out of luck. DMCA takedowns, making your own video. Someone suggested, like, contacting the Florida Bar Association for attorney referral, but I think tracking down, although I mean it might not be totally fruitless, but you would have to do a ton of diligence to try to find who's posting it. Because what if you did find out, oh my gosh, it's the guy I used to work with and he hates me and he's been reposting this and he lives in Florida and I can sue him and I could get him. That might be one thing, but likely it's just a rage bait account. And like you said, you just, that's what happens when it's out on the internet that until there's more guardrails.
God, that makes me wonder what else is out there that's just like completely false that I've seen where I'm just, maybe I've thought, oh, gross. And really, like, it's just a lie. What if there's something out there about me or you? Or
it's just me doing something. They're like, this woman's dancing on the grave of 11 people that were killed in a terrorist act. And I'm like, I was literally just dancing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's the kind of thing where you're like out of context. Like, oh, I was dancing because I got a new job or whatever. And then they're like, we changed the background to make it look like that you're at the Freedom Towers or whatever. And you're like, no, oh God, no, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't. I think we're living in a world where, like, people call it the post-truth society, where you almost have to be like, I'm going to reserve judgment until I have more confirmation on this, because facially, it doesn't seem like this guy. I mean, it seems like this guy's some pedophile monster, and he's not.
Also, I mean, if it's not coming from his account, I would assume it was not, you know, it was fake.
Yeah.
Maybe the video's real, but what it's implying was assumed after the original video. I would probably watch that and think, like, yeah, that's probably his kid.
Yeah, like, why is everyone getting so up in arms about this? But, oh, man, well, I feel bad for this guy.
Yeah,
I think
that
everyone
sucks.
That reposts the video should go to jail for 100 years.
Dude. Yeah, it sucks. And it's weird. I mean, in a world where, like, I want to pull back from the digital footprint online that I make, but at the same time, everything is trending towards that's the only way we communicate. So I'm going to have to build myself a sub basement and live as a hermit.
Exactly. And then don't disclose it to anyone and you escape and no one knows you were ever there. And I'll forget to. Oh, well, Your Honor, thank you very much for ruling on all these. You want
to? Yeah, I guess I need to do an
guy?
Official ruling. What was he asking?
He was asking for what to do for help. And
buddy.
I think the answer is that your tormentors go to jail for 100 years if you can find them.
Yeah.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back. Well, Your Honor, you don't rule on the unpopular opinions that we get, but it's sure one of our favorite segments. If have a hot take, you can go to our website, sinisterhood.com/contact, and select submit a Patreon segment and let her rip with your hot takes like this next one.
I'll tell you what's hot. Rotel dip.
Hell yeah, it is. In a crock pot, baby.
You're going to hear all about this person's opinion of it, too. But yeah, unpopular opinions are so much fun because it brings up things that I'm like, sometimes I'm like, damn, I do have a pretty big opinion on that. Or other times I'm like, I never would have thought that, but
yes.
I can see your point of view. And the commentary in the comments is always top notch.
Oh, it's my favorite. If you think that you don't have an unpopular opinion, I bet you do. And you just don't realize it because you haven't voiced it. But if you are very particular about something, we want to know about it. Like if you're just like, you know what? fuck teacups. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like. Where it's like, you know what?
Fuck those tiny cups and their tiny handles.
What the fuck? Or like, you know what? I feel like there shouldn't be blueberry muffins. Blueberry muffins are the worst.
I have
muffins.
One today.
And I'm like, blueberry muffins are the best muffins. But something like that where you're like, everyone around me is just like, oh, I love cupcakes, idiots. Like, those are the kind of opinions I like. And the harder you go on them, mm-hmm. the funnier they are. Just like with the Judge Christie, if you have a grievance and it's just like the way that my husband sets the toothpicks in the toothpick container, sends me into fucking orbit, and I think he's crazy for it. Yeah, maybe he is. You need to put it before the judge. Like, that is what we thirst for, is the most, yes. And honestly, we'll probably take your side.
Yeah, I can be a bit biased.
Sometimes.
I know. I'm not biased. Depending. I just...
You're fair.
Women are usually right.
You're so, like, it's
I'm
not
fair.
My fault.
I'm not biased. I'm fair.
You're like, I'm not biased. I'm reasonable. And I just listen to reasonable arguments. So this, I don't know if this Rotel person is being reasonable, but y'all decide. Y'all decide.
Yeah, please tell us what you think.
We've got a final hot take, and it is just that time of year. Football season has started, and Hannah is fed the fuck up with the following. She writes, hello, ladies. I have a hot take / unpopular opinion that I think most people will disagree with me on. Rotel dip is not that good. In the South, it's a staple for football game food, but I will pass on it every time. It's gluey and only okay when it's too hot to eat. Love you, ladies. Don't roast me too hard. Hannah.
Hannah, I will say I see where you're coming from, because a layer forms on the top. It's the crock pot layer. It's the CPL. No one knows how to get rid of it. It is, you got to skim it off before you get your scoop of Rotel. It does have to be hot because it will glob up. That being said, it is a staple at our house on game day. So it's very reminiscent of fall weather and football for me.
And cozy. Yeah. If I'm at a place and there is Rotel, I will get some depending on the temperature. Cause yeah, when it gets cold, it is gelatinous and I cannot. Yeah. If I am the one that's hosting a party back, cause I used to host a ton of parties in when I moved back to Dallas, especially, but also in law school, but more so here with like a lot of like crock pot foods, my birthday party, whatever. And I, two times of doing it, I was like, I'm not scooping this shit out. Even with the crock pot condom, I felt like, which are like the liner things.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's still, I feel like it gets everywhere. And you're ended up with just like a bag, a thick, hard.
To throw away.
To throw away. So I like, if I'm hosting, I'll get like Tostitos, like queso in the jar. It's not the same. Two different things.
Honestly, though, I like it better.
I agree.
The Tostitos in the glass jar better than Rotel also.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'll
also
Rotel.
Say, have you tried it cold?
Somebody, I thought that was somebody on here was like, eat it cold, and they like it better cold. Like,
try it cold just once.
I think I tried it and I didn't hate it, but it's not my. It's like it makes me think of the Lunchables. Hot. Yeah, it makes me think of the Lunchables.
Okay, that's fair.
Which I'm fine with.
But
I like.
Tommy makes the Rotel and then cleans it up. So. Yeah. I am happy to just eat it. But yeah, I don't want to like deal with all of it.
No, like scooping it, scraping it out. It's like a whole thing. And also making it, takes, you know, you have to check back on it and mix it and stuff. I was like, why am I not just getting this pre-mixed one that's like got the little peppers in it? And damn, now I want to go eat chips and queso or eat nachos now.
I have several unopened bags of Trader Joe's Tostitos here and salsas that we can enjoy tonight. We just gotta get some
queso. I'm gonna come pick you up.
Queso.
And we're gonna get some queso. And then we're gonna go home and eat some queso. Get some chips and queso in the moonlight. Well,
and if you don't live in a place where you're like, what the fuck is Rotel?
Let me just stop you. Here's what Rotel is. Yes.
We'll give a recipe too.
You tell me how y'all make it. It's a block of Velveeta.
Yeah.
Put that in and then dump
in a crock pot or like an Instapot or something.
Dump the Rotel, which is a can of diced tomatoes and peppers on it on top.
Yeah. And you let it simmer and it becomes a queso, which in the South is cheese dip, not just cheese.
The problem with the queso dip, the Rotel queso dip, is the thickness does damage the chips. So I do prefer the queso again for the dippability, because the Rotel becomes a scoop situation and the heaviness of the Rotel, it depends on the structural integrity of the chip, but it can create a situation where you've got a handful of Rotel goo and a bunch of chip crumbs and you're like, I can't even get a goddamn bite, which again, this is not sponsored by Tostitos. I just prefer it.
God, I wish it was. Do you ever get just like a plate of chips and do a ladle drizzle of Rotel or queso on top as like a nacho situation.
Home Alone, yes. If I'm at a party situation or at a party at my own house, I'm more likely to go bowl with dipping for messiness purposes because I don't want to be like cheese all over my hands, licking on my hands, hanging out with my friends.
It so, can't be messy.
Nah, can't be too messy. But Rotel is good for that, in which case, when it does dry, you just microwave it, melt the shit back down, you're all good to go. So maybe we've been dipping Rotel when it should have been a drizzle sitch.
I do a drizzle a lot because oftentimes it's just easier than dirtying two different things.
True. Then you're not having to bust a bowl out. I try to use
the least amount of plates and silverware in my kitchen as I can because everyone else in the house likes to use maximum amount that they can. So I try and balance it out by I'll be like, I'll just eat off this napkin with this plastic fork. It's fine. I don't need any. I don't want any more dishes if we're there.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. I'm the same way if I can help it, but for dip purposes, I do have to go with a separate bowl. But I like these little ramekins for our dipping purposes at home.
Yes. I like a little individual ramekin to dip.
If possible. Well, these are hot takes, you guys.
These are hot takes, and I appreciate them. Everyone's vulnerability is appreciated.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if you agree that women and children first and the elderly is stupid. If you don't want anyone to hold a goddamn door for you or perceive you either, step away. And if you're like, fuck Rotel, let us know what you like, or if maybe we've been leaving ingredients out of Rotel and there's a way to make it even better and improve it. Maybe we're hating on it because we just have an unfinished dip. And I welcome
Throw a recipe in the comment section, please.
I welcome it.
And that goes for all dips because I love a dip, as does Tommy. He named his first dog Chips and Dips because he named it after his favorite food to eat. That's
brilliant and also a delicious food to eat. Yeah, let's start a dip chain where we're all just dip like chain. A chain of all different dip recipes and links to
Discord.
Discord. Discord for dip recipes. Well, if you have an unpopular opinion, go to sinisterhood.com/contact, click submit a Patreon segment, and then select unpopular opinion from the drop-down menu. Thank you, everyone, for being so brave and so willing to share this. Sound off in the comments what you think and get you some dip. Get you some chip and dip.
Yeah.
Whatever
chips
kind.
And dips. Still one of his video game character names.
Nice. Chips and dips is a good
name. Some things never die.
They don't need to. They don't
Goonies
need to change.
And the love of chips and dips.
Well, thank you, everybody, so much.
Well, so what do we think?
Man, this has been a journey through our Patreon landscape from our So Sinister tier with our weekly bonus content on to the mini-sodes and the Q&As you get with the Ruling the Airwaves tier up into the streams that we do for the Getting Into It tier with our bonus content streams. And I just appreciate everybody that's at Patreon at whatever level. Free members, we love you. Thank you. In case you don't know, we also have a free level where you don't pay anything. You just sign up. You get Sunday Scaries and then the So Sinister tier bonus contents. Once they've been up for a while, Tommy goes and pulls one from the archives and he'll send them out to all of our free members. So not even a free trial. You can stay a free member forever if you want. But if you want even more stuff and to support the show financially, we would love that too. But we also just appreciate you supporting it with your attention and time.
Absolutely. And again, right now, if you do want to support it, now's the time. 20% off all new annual memberships. Use code November.
November. And there's things on here that we couldn't even include, like our movie watch-alongs we do on Patreon. You just missed it. We did one on October 30th and watched Velocipaster. So go check that shenanigans out.
We're recording this before we've watched it. And I'm
we have
just
not
like,
watched it.
What?
It's going to be great and not offensive.
Again, I hope this ages well.
Is it offensive? Who knows? But you'll hear it. We'll it's there for replay for the So Sinister tier and above. And we also have our Sunday Scaries for free members. Every week we go live, unless we're on the ocean. And there's a huge archive of 30 streams plus the awesome community we have. But when you dive into a tier, like we said at the beginning, you get so much ad-free episodes, the monthly live streams, the quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, which we didn't even mention, but Ruling the Airwaves and Getting Into It, you get special codes and a community of the best listeners on the internet. So join now.
Can you hear it?
Yes, yes. Are you kidding me? Do you mean?
I have right now I'm hosting a haunted house and the chainsaw section has just started. So
Leatherface is like, sign up for Patreon. It's like Chrissy said, I have signed up for our Patreon or I will come at you with a fucking chainsaw, a literal chainsaw.
Oh, it's right now, it's a blade you can hear my unpopular opinion that's happening in the background. And that is, I don't know if this is unpopular. Leaf blowers fucking suck. They're fucking pointless. I don't understand what's going outside my window right now because guess what? All the leaves are blowing around. They're just blowing them to the other side of the yard. They don't like get got and go away.
They just fly up into the air. I think they should all have leaf suckers like you have where it's like a vacuum.
Yeah.
And it sucks the leaves up.
They should.
You know what doesn't suck? Our Patreon. So go join. You get 20% off all new annual memberships with code November. And if you want to write in your opinion about leaf blowers, let us know. Maybe your unpopular opinion is that you like leaf blowers,
that would be the unpopular opinion. I only unmuted myself because when you were listing all the things, someone reminded me in a comment that also the show theme song can be downloaded as an MP3 for your ringtone was another perk that
if you can do
we
that.
We don't want to bury that, okay?
Let's not forget. And if you when you join at the Ruling the Airwaves tier and above, we send out stickers every few weeks whenever we get a batch of them. I send out stickers literally by hand, like I have them in the desk drawer next to me. And we mail them out and we like sign them, you know, and put a stamp on them and everything. So you get a little signed thing from us too and a little sticker that you
Straws
can put anywhere.
A little ghosty on it.
I draw a little ghost with my purple pen. So yeah, go and join the Patreon. Use code November to get 20% off or just join for free and get you a free trial and then join because then that way you get an extra week as well.
Absolutely.
We can head over to sinisterhood.com and click on shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, clothes for your kiddos. And if you're in the Ruling the Airwaves and getting into it tier, check the pin post on Patreon for your discount code. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you want us to cover, submit Odd But True Tales for Freaky Friday, or whatever videos you want us to react to on Sunday Scaries. Get those topic-based playlists and show notes and everything's on there, too. Go click around on the website. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you want a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congrats on whatever accomplishment, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it a thoughtful gift, but it's perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping, or if you're looking for a last minute gift, you can order it online. Where can people find you on the internet?
Just I thought they took a break, but they didn't.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre House.
Yeah.
You can follow.
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves and this leaf blower rules hell.
Keep it creepy. Thank you so much, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Dawn Sanborn Lawan.
Mushroom.
Ash.
Shay.
And Cat Crane.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Mwah.